here and just think about this a little bit. But as we do, as we kind of come to the Word and kind of see this, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this, for these testimonies, for these lives who have, these ones who have come and have surrendered lives to you and have declared it to all of us. Father, I pray that we would come, we would be more than willing to help them along the way. And Father, to come alongside them and not just say, well, I'm glad they did it. I'm going to just, they better get it straight because they got baptized. Father, might we understand that we do this together. And the Father, that you just would cause us to help them to know they're a part of things here and that they can be continue to grow. And Father, we do pray for them that they would, we would be taking those next steps. And Father, we pray for us today as we consider, again, just what it is that is going on here today and what it is that it represents. And Father, we thank you for what you will do with that and open up your word to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as we had a chance to do this, and I think everybody has a, sometimes we have different understandings about what goes on with baptism and what's going on up here. And I wanted to reflect a little bit just on what it is that we're that was going on up here. And I mentioned a couple of times here that, you know, that this was a declaration of something. And I think that many times that we live in a world where there's all kinds of declarations that are made, isn't that right? And we're all looking for our spots. I just have noticed it just seems that everyone's looking for their spot, their point of notoriety, whether it's on Facebook or whatever it is. We're all looking for these ways to be significant, to ways to know that people care. I get these Facebook things, and it's like, you know, if you do this, and then if you really care for me, you repeat this to 20 more people. I'm just to tell you, if you ever send me one of those things, I hope you're not insulted. It's not nothing about you. But I don't care who sends me one of those things. I will never pass them on, okay? But the thing is, it seems like it's this need to say, I want to know people like me. And that's very legitimate, isn't it? But we live in a world that doesn't give us a lot of those places because it says you have to be this or be that or do this or do that or be outrageous or be open or be inconspicuous or be conspicuous. So we can't figure out what we're supposed to be to make a difference. How do we fit in? Where do we fit in? What does that look like? And you see, baptism is a declaration that I'm identifying with Jesus. Because that's what baptism is. It's this point of identification to say, everyone that got up today said, I want to live for Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus, and I want to live more for him, and I'm telling you all. Well, that puts you on the spot, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if you just kind of come to church and you're going along and all right, I mean, that you kind of fit in. But when you start to declare, I want to make a difference, I want to live according to what Jesus says, now that's the next step, isn't it? But that puts you on a line. So then the question is, well, then people are going to expect me to be something, and everyone's got their idea about what that means now, right? And I think that we sometimes have missed the point because, you see, baptism is a declaration of my identification, but it's really nothing that I declare about myself. It's declaring what God has declared about me. You see, that's the difference. You get that? It's not what I declare about myself. But it's about what God has declared about me, and that is what I declare. You see, there's plenty of people in the world today that have decided they're going to be significant. And like I said, we got Facebook and all kinds of ways for people to get a microphone today, which is scary to me in some ways. To say, I matter. And we declare it so. But it may not make any difference, right? The more you declare it, the more it's like, well, no one still cares about me, so I can scream and holler I want, but it doesn't make that much difference. But you see, when we come, we declare this baptism, it's about something real. And today we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to take a look. If you want to turn there and you got Bibles in the pews, or if you want to just want to follow along or just want to listen, we're going to look at Ephesians. And it talks to us about what it is that has been declared today. What is it about us that's been declared? And if you're a believer today, this is what you can declare. Not because you're so good or because you're so something or other, but because this is what God declares about you. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. So let's turn to chapter 1 of Ephesians. We're going to read, we're going to be in verses 3 through 14 today. I'm just going to read this whole thing, and then we're going to just take a little closer look at it. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. For you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit and guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I want to just say just up front, if you're a believer and you ever wonder what it's about, you go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read this passage. And there's plenty of passages that are like this, but this is one that just tells us a lot of things, doesn't it? The first thing it tells us here is that we are blessed. We throw that word around a lot, you know, I'm blessed and so on. But we see that in this one verse, actually in the NIV it says, praise be to God. It could actually be translated, blessed be God. Okay, so let's read this again. So you think we're blessed? He says, blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's that word blessing is three times in that one verse. Okay? So he reminds us that we are blessed. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? Sometimes I think we think of being blessed is that I got a lot of stuff. You know what? I got a lot of stuff and I'm well known or something and, you know, those kind of things. Actually, what it means to be blessed. A blessing is when we give someone favor. We bestow upon them our favor, our attention, our sense of acknowledgement of them. And we desire good things for them. That's what a blessing is. Okay? So you can have lots of stuff and not be blessed. Do you realize that? Because you went out and got it and you took it. Sometimes I get crazy with people that say, you know, they got all this money and you know that they've worked and schemed and you know, they've done everything. And, you know, and they'll say, I'm blessed. Well, no, maybe you're a thief. Maybe you're greedy. But I don't think I'd call you blessed because it has nothing to do about anybody's favor. You are, in fact, favoring yourself. Maybe you could say you blessed yourself, but that's not what we're talking about here. This is about seeking favor, and that's what it is, of acknowledging favor towards someone. And that's what it means, and that's what it's all about. We see in the Old Testament that God would give his blessing, right? And we see Jacob who gave the blessing to his children, you know, and he blessed them. And so it's this sense of favor that we are favored. And this word here that's translated praise, when we think about this idea, the reason it's translated praise is because when we are to bless God, right? But now our blessing doesn't do the same thing for us that it does for God, right? So we don't make God anything. He doesn't need our favor, isn't that right? So that's why it's translated to praise him, because we're acknowledging who he is. We're acknowledging he's the one, as those that came today were blessing the Lord. They were saying, he is the one who is Lord. I'm praising him as the one who is in charge. That's what it means to bless the Lord, is to acknowledge who he is. But notice it says here, when we acknowledge who he is, he blesses us back. And you see, that's what's amazing. When we do that, when we profess him, what we have is all this blessing. And look what he describes here. He says it's from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says he blesses us where? In the heavenly realms. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, man, I need a little blessing down here, man. I mean, heavenly realms, that seems like a far, far, far away. But the reality is when it's set in heaven, then it's set here. Isn't that right? And it's like, you know, sometimes we get this short-sighted view of things. Like, somehow I want it now, and if I don't get it now, then maybe I'm not blessed. But you know what? You know, how many of you, if you have a retirement program, are you worried about, you know, you're saying, are you worried about spending it now? You might be a little tight right now, but you know what? You're saving that for later, isn't it? That's at a higher place, in a sense, for you. And see, in the spiritual realms, those of us that are in Christ, we know we're going to be in the spiritual realm. And he says, it's all those, you have every, no, he doesn't say kind of some of the blessings that are only good in heaven, right? He says, you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. This is otherworldly. This is beyond our understanding about what blessing is. You know, when you ever get what you wanted? You ever get something you want? You got that new car, you got that job, or you got that person, or whatever it is, you got them, and after you got them, you said, man, that ain't what I thought it was going to be. Right? And you see, he's saying here that what God gives to us is everything we can possibly imagine and more. Beyond our understanding of our physical being, our limitations, he says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I mean, you know, that's quite a package, don't you think? And you see, we have all those things, and it's in Christ. You see, it's in Christ. That's what we get. So when those that go and confess that today, and if you confess that in your life, that Jesus is Lord, that you have all of those things. And you know, and there's a song that says, you know, it talks about counting your blessings. You know what? You can't count them all. So go ahead, try to start, but don't get burdened by trying to count them all, okay? And then if you can't remember a few, you just say, well, you know what? I know it's there because he said that's the case. And so the first thing that was declared today, and the first thing that we declare as we come, and if we follow the Lord in baptism, what we're declaring is that we are blessed. We are favored by the Lord of the universe. Now, that can make you feel pretty special, can't it? And we declare that. That's more than just kind of coming up and getting a little water and getting a little chilly today and doing all that. That's about that things are pretty well set. Things are pretty well set. But that seems rather vague still. But so he says, so that's where we start, that's kind of the big picture, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And then Paul here, and what he does with his letter, then he kind of gives us a list of those things. He kind of gives us some things here to bring it down more to what we can kind of get our hands on, okay? We get our hands on. And the first thing is, as we see here, the first thing that we are blessed, but then he says that we are picked for a purpose. Picked for a purpose. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt like the fact that, you know, you kind of are in this, that you're kind of a mistake of evolution. You ever feel like that? You know, I mean, sometimes people feel that way. Like, you know what, I just showed up here. It's all by accident. And what difference does it make, right? I'm just one of the many. Or if you've been in the crowd and you're just one of the many, right? I don't know if you remember back in elementary school, you ever pick teams, start picking teams, and you all line up. And some folks, man, they couldn't wait to have teams picked because they knew they were going to get picked. But you may want to be one of those person that, you know, maybe they didn't pick you till the end. You know what I mean? And being picked is like you'd have given anything to be picked. Right? And if you're picked as the last one, it's kind of like, was I really picked? Or was I just kind of, you know, or, you know, it gets as it goes, someone will say something like, well, I guess I'll take Chris. I mean, it really makes you feel like you're nothing, right? It makes you feel like, what am I doing here? What's going on here? And you know what? It feels so good when when you get picked right away. Oh, you just feel like, oh man, because why? They wanted you, isn't that right? They chose you from others and said, I want you. I want you. And it seemed like they had a reason, and I was picked. And that's what we see here. We see here that. He says in this first blessing, he says, you were picked for a purpose. He says, he chose you, chose us, okay? He chose us. And this word for choosing here is the idea that I choose someone. When there's other options, I choose you. There's intention there, isn't that right? There's purpose there. And we see a lot of these words here. He talks how he was chosen him before the creation of the world, okay? And it says, in love. He predestined us. You know, he predestined us to something here. And to be predestined is to be choosing something ahead of time. You pick something beforehand. You agree beforehand. So if you were getting picked for that game before the picking started, someone already knew they were going to pick you. Okay? So, you know, you could walk into that line with confidence because you know your friend there, they were going to pick you. You were predestined. It was beforehand thought about you. And so that's what we see the word here, that God predestined you. Okay? He thought about it. He knew you ahead of time. He understood you. He had an intention as he came to you. Okay? And then notice it says that he did this in accordance with his pleasure and will. So he didn't only just choose you. He wanted to choose you. It was by his pleasure and his will, his design. So God didn't just get up in heaven. You aren't the last one in line, all right? You're not the last one. You're not saying, well, you know, God finally got down to me. You know, I'm at the bottom, and, man, you know, he had to pick me because I was so bad I was either going to die, and I cried out to him, and he had to take me. Oh, no, he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to choose you. He couldn't wait to predestine you. He couldn't wait. And so we see there's all this intention that he desired you. Man, that's good to know, isn't it? That you're desired in a world that does not sure if they want you. If you don't know if anybody wants you, you've been working hard to get people to want you, or they want you as long as you got something for them. God wanted you. God wants you. And it's his will. That's how he makes this choice. Isn't that amazing? See, he's choosing us because he wants to. And then he says, look, he says, well, I guess that, okay, that's okay. So he wants to, but now we want to take a look at the purpose. What is his purpose? Okay? What is his purpose? He's got three things here that are his purpose. First of all, he says he chose you, first of all, before the creation of the world. So again, it's he before things were even together, before you had a chance to do anything or be anything, right? Before the foundation of the world, he chose you to be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. Now, we all know in our hearts, right, in ourselves, we are not holy and blameless before God. That's why God is distant. That's why we live in a world where no one knows where God is, because you see, in our sin took us away. Isn't that right? But to be holy and blameless in his sight is the idea that we can come into his presence, that we can come into, we can have a relationship with him. His purpose for us is that we might have a relationship with him. Not that we get to church and do all the stuff he wants us to do and work for him. He wants to have a relationship with us. So he predestined, he chose us to be holy and blameless, to be in relationship with him, that we could walk with the God of the universe in relationship. Now, isn't that something? Again, sometimes we think that God just picked us because, you know, I don't know, he had an experiment going on or something, right? But he chose us to have relationship with him. And that's the first thing we got to recognize. We were picked for a purpose, to be relating with the God of the universe. Does that make you feel special? Okay? When you start thinking nobody cares about you, just say, hey, I was chosen to have a relationship with the God of the universe. So who are you? Amen. But then he goes, and he also says then that we were predestined. He says that we were, let's see, where are we at here? Okay, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. So he chose us, he picked us with purpose of being in the family. So it's not just me and God. It's us and God. He adopts us into the family. This idea of adoption, we all have an idea of adoption, right? It's someone that isn't born into the family, but then you receive them in, and they get all the rights of a natural-born child. You become part of the family, which means that then you have all the privileges of the family, but also means you have all the responsibilities of the family. It also means that, you know, you're going to get disciplined because, you know, when you look around, you see families, and you see someone running around, you're thinking, man, someone should take care of that kid. You don't see, maybe you have a heart for them, maybe you don't, but, you know, they're one of your family. But if they're one of, you know, my kids knew, for us, for Roxy and I, There were things that you were going to do because you were in our family. Now, if you were in our family, they'd ask, well, what about this person? Well, they're not in the family. But if they're in our family, this is what happens. But see, our kids knew that they were part. part of the family too. And so when the Cries did something, they got in on it. And you see, we are adopted into the family. We were beforehand known to be part of the family, to be part of a group. And you know, that's what's longing in all of us, isn't it? We all long to be part of something, to know other people. I don't care if you're introvert or extrovert or whatever revert you are. Right? You sense the need to be with others in some way and to work it out. And he's called us into that. That's the privilege of being in him. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get along with people, isn't it? It's hard. But, you know, when he adopts us in the family, he says, you know what, you're all in. So figure it out. And you know what? When you're family, you figure it out. And you see, we are part of something that is the part of the family. And you see, that's the amazing thing about family, is that when you're family, you will work it out. Okay? And so he invites us, he brings us into the family. He adopts us and says, you're mine. You're in the family with all the others. We have our place. We have our spot. And it's amazing that we are part of this family, part of something. And then the last thing we see here, the purpose is that we're to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, grace is that undeserved favor, getting things I don't deserve. See, mercy is not getting the things I do deserve, okay? It's a withholding something I deserve to get swatted. Mercy is you don't get swatted, okay? But grace is the other way. It's I don't deserve this, but you give it to me, and it's something that's good for me. But you see, you notice here says here that we are, the purpose was to, for us to be the praise of his glorious grace, which he showed in the one he loves, in Jesus. We are his trophies. Trophies of his grace. You see, when people came and we did this on Wednesday night, we did our testimonies, and as I had shared with the people that got baptized, wanted them to understand. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I should tell my story. Am I being, you know, kind of cocky or something? I don't know if anybody cares about my story. You know what our story is? Our story is a picture of God's grace in my life. It's the gospel in 3D. Every one of your stories, as you come to Jesus, whatever that story is, you might think it's not very spectacular. You may be thinking, well, you know, I came to Jesus and I really haven't been doing anything much with the Lord since then. Whatever it might be, wherever you're at in the process, you see, he's called you to be to the praise of his glory. You're his trophy. He's saying, it's your grace. It's his grace. And we understand that's what he is a picture of. And, you know, so when someone comes into me and they kind of get on me about something, whether it's me being a pastor, I'm not, you know, whatever, I'm a this or that kind of person or whatever, it's like, you know what? I know that his grace is what I stand for. And it changes how I think about myself, doesn't it? Because, you see, I am to the praise of his grace. And so when you start thinking, man, I'm just not living up. I'm just not living up. Well, of course you're not. You're to the glory of his grace. You see, he's given you more than you deserve. Because many times we get into this thing, I deserve more. Or God's given to me because I deserved it. No, you're to the praise of his glorious grace. We've been picked for a purpose. But that's not all. Oh, man, we're just getting started. That's just the first one. We've also been set free. We've been talking about this in Galatians, haven't we? If you've been here, we've been talking about it in Galatians. He goes on here and it says, we have been set free from the mess that we're a part of. We all know we're a mess, right? But he says, in him we have been redeemed by the blood. And he describes what the redemption is that we're forgiven of our sins. You know, all those things that you've done, you can't change. You can't change the past. It's gone. It's done. It's over. You can't change it. You've been forgiven because of the cross. Jesus died on the cross. So when they come today, they don't stand up here because, you know, they kind of decided to get better. It's because they've confessed that Jesus died on the cross for them. The penalty was paid. Now their sins are forgiven. They've surrendered to him, and they're forgiven. The redemption has been paid. You have been set free from your sin. Now we have a choice. Now we have a choice to do what he wants, because we've also been given something, right? But you see, we've been set free. Because of that. And so we've been set free from our sin. He's straightened things out. And he's notice how he's given it to us here. So you might be saying, well, you know what? Yeah, I just squeaked in. Look at this. He says he gave this in the accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now think of this. Now you think about God. There was this owner, an NBA owner that kind of went and talked to one of the refs. He got up and it's kind of funny. He gets up, he goes, talks to the ref, and then sits down, and they find him $100,000. And this guy's a billionaire. Now it's amazing. They were saying, you know, this guy, you know, oh, that's just, you know, that's petty cash for him. $100,000 is petty cash, but it's petty cash for him. Now, if that guy was going to tell you, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a gift based upon my riches. What would you be expecting from that guy? I mean, if $100,000 is just, you know, petty cash, and he's going to give according to his riches, you're thinking, man, I'm going to be able to take a trip. Isn't that right? And you see, that's what he's saying here, that God has given us his grace, his forgiveness of his sin. He's lavished it on us according to the riches of his grace, not just sneaking through, not just kind of giving you, you know, petty cash. He's basing it on his riches. His riches are overbounding, are eternal. And he says, that's how you've been forgiven. That's how you've been redeemed. God had no hesitation. You've been set free. You don't have to worry about, are you worth it? He said, I've declared you worth it. And I'm pouring out on you the based on my riches. So, man, I tell you what, you've been set free. Lavishly and with all wisdom and understanding. He knows everything. He knows how to do it. He knows how to give it to you. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't give you the wrong amount. He didn't give you the wrong stuff. He knows exactly. He gave it to you. And so you can be confident of that. You may be looking at it saying, it doesn't seem like right to me. I wish I had something else. Oh, in all wisdom and understanding, he's lavished his grace on you. He's lavished his grace on you. And then he also goes on here and he says that he also says something else, that we've been set free. You ever found bound by the fact that you just think that fate has got you? You know, this idea of fate and you're just stuck. And life seems to be a mystery. Well, you know, in a sense, life is a mystery, isn't it? It's unrevealed. But he says here, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. That's going to be brought into effect when all of it's fulfilled. He gives us, when you start thinking, I don't know where this world's going. I know, I don't know, global, you know, a climate change, are we going to all die, or whatever, however you think about climate change, whatever. And you're wondering, oh, what's going to happen? Things are really bad. We have this crazy president, you might say to yourself. Or you might say that the world's going crazy. They're blowing each other up. We got this little country, North Korea, that keeps thinking they want to, you know, keep poking the United States in the eye, try to start what? A nuclear war? What's going on? You're saying to yourself, oh, my goodness, it's a mystery. And I try to do good. I try to be good, and things just don't seem to work out. It's a mystery. And he said he's revealed the mystery. It's in Christ, you see, he's come, Jesus has come, and he said he came to rescue us from our sin. It said he came to empower us to do what he wants us to do. He said he's gonna return, and that makes sense of everything, because you see, he's got a plan. It's going to be fulfilled, and then when I know that, I don't have to worry. I can step out in faith. I can live what he says I'm supposed to be doing, because I know he knows the end. I know that he's got it planned. I don't have to worry about it. I'm set free. I'm set free to really do what I'm supposed to do here. Even if I don't see the results, even if it doesn't look like I think, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but he calls me to do it because he's got a plan, and he's coming back, and everything's going to come together in his purposes. And you know what? The mystery starts to get solved. And even when I don't know the answers, you might be struggling with suffering. You might say, I don't know how God can let people suffer. How can he let young girls be snatched in the sex trade and taken off somewhere? How can people be in poverty? How can there be such injustice? And you know what? Jesus will come back and it'll all be straightened out. And in fact, he even does it now, doesn't he? And he says that's the context of all those things. And if it doesn't get all worked out now, he said, I got you. I'm coming. You keep doing what you're doing because, see, you've been blessed in the heavenly realms with all the spiritual blessings, right? And it will all come together. You will see it, and you may not see it now, but he says, the mystery has been made known. And I know the mystery, that Jesus has brought it all together. And, you know, there's questions. You know, I just think it frees us to have questions. See, I think sometimes as Christians we think, well, we shouldn't have any questions. And, you know, but see, then if you don't have any questions about this world, if you aren't disturbed by some things in this world, then I'm not sure what you're looking at. You know, we can get trapped by our false sense of optimism too, can't we? But I can be set free to face the world as it is, because I know this is not the way it's going to stay. In a matter of fact, that sin has been broken, and I know that people's lives can be changed, as we saw testified to today. As I testify in my life, there is a plan that's being fulfilled. I've been set free. I've been set free. Well, then, we also see, we are set free, but we're also chosen by promise. In verse 11, he says, in him we were also chosen. Now, in English, it's the same word there, right? But in the original, it's a different word. The first word was kind of picking someone, that's kind of picking someone out amongst others. That's kind of the basic meaning. This is a meaning that you choose something, choose someone based on something that's come previously, and it's guaranteeing something. It was used in the context in the Old Testament of the idea of choosing, God choosing his people and attaching them to the land. They were chosen to be in the land, to have a place, that God had chose them. And so it's a covenant word. It's a covenant word. So he says here that we were also chosen, having been predestined, thought beforehand, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are first hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Now what he's saying here is that God made a promise. And on that promise, he's going to do what he said. Now, you see, that's important, isn't it? Because, you know, there's things ahead of time. There's things ahead of us. You have life ahead of you, isn't that right? But, you know, God made a promise. He said, my son's coming back. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He said, there's many things you can look at in Scripture, right, that are promises. If you seek him, if you trust him, here's what happens. It's by promise. He chose you beforehand by promise. And when God promises something, you know it's going to happen because he said it so. And you see, we can look back and see all the past promises, so we can know that our relationship with him is based upon his fidelity, not mine. Because we would be in trouble, all right? But you see, he has chosen us, predestined us based upon his promise that came to be in his son, and he sent his spirit to give us power to live the way he calls us to live. And we can count on that. So when you're out there and you're wondering, well, I don't know if I can take this step. I don't know. He says, I promise. You've been chosen by promise. And so we understand that. We see that. And notice here, it's for the praise of his glory. It's for the praise of his glory. Again, it's not so that you can be okay. There's a certain sense, you know, we end up going to heaven, but that's not why he chooses us. He chooses us why? So we have a relationship with him. That's heaven in that sense. But it's always to the praise of his glory. And when we start thinking about that, does that change the way you think about your life? Sometimes we get so consumed by, you know, by me that I lose definition. But you see, when it's to the praise of his glory, then he's going to do what he's going to do to the praise of his glory. And I'm looking forward to what he will do in my life. See, I can face all that comes that way. I can face all that comes that way. Now, what's curious here, we come to this last thing. We see here, you know, notice he said here that we're predestined according to this plan that works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. He's got all together. He's promised these things. But it says there, it was to who were the first to hope in Christ. That's kind of an interesting phrase. Because then he goes on in verse 13. Notice he says there, he says, and you. He has been saying we and us all along, right? And now he says, and you. Wait a minute. It says us, and then there's you. What's going on here? Well, you see, Paul here is referring to this idea that this promise, this covenant promise, was given to who? It was given to the Jewish people, right? It was through Abraham, and it was through Isaac and Jacob, and that promise was given. And so that's where Jesus came, and the first believers were those Jews, right, that were around him, that had surrendered their life to him. And he says, so he was the first to believe. They were the first ones to believe in that sense. Now, that could raise all kinds of issues in that church. Remember what's happening in Galatians? Because that group had come in and said, you know what? You're Gentiles, but you got to become Jewish in order to be really Christians. You know, you got to get baptized. You got to get circumcised, they said. Because then it kind of gets you that next level. And Paul in Galatians was saying, what? No, that's not the case at all. But he seems to bring this up here because he says, this is a covenant promise given to the Jewish people. So is it just for the Jewish people? You know, Paul's a good preacher because he knows how to just tweak something once, right? Because he's got a point here to make, okay? Because that was being said at this time was, you know what? There's a special group. You got to become Jewish. And he said, those are first that hope that's who it came to. But then he goes on and he talks about you. So he's talking here to the Ephesians. These were the Ephesians who were, they were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. So he says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with a seal. He's saying here, this is the same gospel. For those of us that believed first, those of us that were Jewish, there's not a priority that excludes you. It's the same gospel. It's the same Christ that was the promise that you as Jewish folks were looking ahead to in the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, you believed in him, but it's the same one for you. In Christ, the Messiah, it's the same one. You outsiders, you aren't outsiders. It's on the same basis. It's on the same basis that he comes to us, that it's for all. It's the same. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You believed in it just like we did. It's the same thing. It's the equality here. And then he says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. So all of a sudden he flips into this thing about he's got this Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has been promised. The Holy Spirit has come into us. As a matter of fact, in the church at Ephesus, we read in Acts that when Paul came, there was a group of people there that didn't have the Holy Spirit. We're not, you know, they were believers. They had gotten the baptism of John. Right? And they weren't sure, you know, what was going on. And Paul says, well, what baptism have you gotten? And he says, well, we got the baptism of John. And he says, well, let me tell you about Jesus. I told him about Jesus. And it says that the Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and they started to prophesy. Now, they were Gentiles and they'd gotten the Spirit. We saw earlier that Cornelius had gotten the Spirit. He was a Gentile. He'd gotten the Spirit, and he had the same manifestation of the Spirit that the church, that the Jewish people had, because they spoke in tongues, and that was the confirmation. It's the Holy Spirit that's come upon them. It's been promised. As a matter of fact, it was promised in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, we read this, that the prophet told Israel, he said, and he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He promised there that the Holy Spirit would be in them. It's the promise that was given. The Holy Spirit is the confirmation of the promise of God. That we have, notice, an inheritance. And notice the flip here. The pronoun gets flipped. Notice he says there, you were included in Christ, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And then he says, who is a deposit guaranteeing whose inheritance? Our inheritance. So he's saying here that this Holy Spirit is this guarantee that you've got an inheritance in heaven. You got this inheritance. Inheritance implies there's that you're in on it now, but there's more to come, isn't that right? And that's what he says, that now we're living in this world now. We're living in the flesh, right? We're working through that. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And he says, there's a guaranteed place for you. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, the Holy Spirit is the promise that you got a place waiting for you. It's a guarantee. And see, this idea of a seal is a couple of different things. A seal is something that identifies it, okay? Identifies you as this is the seal. But also something that protects you, isn't that right? So he says that the Holy Spirit is protecting us. It identifies us. He is identifying us. The Spirit in us identifies us. that we're the ones, we are partakers of the inheritance. You got an inheritance. So when you're walking around thinking, man, I don't know where this is going, the Holy Spirit in you confirms that you have an inheritance. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. And you see, that's what he describes here. And that we've been, that this redemption, that we are God's possession, and notice he ends it again, to the praise of his glory. So you see, what we saw today, what was declared today, what you can declare today if you are a believer in Jesus, are these things. All right? That we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, picked for a purpose, set free, chosen by promise, guaranteed of inheritance that goes across any barrier you might imagine. And you see, we need to claim that. And when you need to come back and read this passage over and over and over and be reminded of who you are. And you see, that's what was declared today in these baptisms. And you know, when you are that, you're going to start acting different, aren't you? You're saying, man, I'm a child of the King. You know what? I'm a child of the King. And it drives us, but we understand it's all by his grace. We don't work for it. We just live it out. And you see, that's what we do. And there's those decisions to be making. We know the struggle that's there. But you see, we're in the family. We have the power. And that's what we declare. And this morning, if you're not so sure that that's where you're at, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you need to give yourself to Jesus. See, that's all it is. It's surrender. It's not about working at it. It's about recognizing that you're a mess. And that he died on the cross for you. He redeemed you. He forgave your sins. And you trust him. And you can make that same declaration. Not because you think you're something, but because the God of the universe has declared that you are. And that makes all the difference in the world. So who are you today? What did we celebrate today? Let's celebrate every day as a declaration of his declaration of us in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you today that you are a God who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And Father, we come today on this list that we've looked at. We thank you, Father, of all these things. And there's so many more things that we know we're blessed in. Father, forgive us when we forget the blessing that we have. Forgive us when we're not content with the blessing we have. Forgive us when we don't understand that you've unlocked the mysteries for us. That we can trust you and that you know what's going on in our lives. And we can come with our questions and our concerns and our all of those things. And you know all those things and you invite us in. You ask us to come to you because we're part of the family. So, Father, I pray that today that we would be able to walk from here having celebrated these baptisms, that it would just mark our whole week. That we can celebrate those same things. For all of us that know you, Father, might you remind us of those things. And for any today here who might not know you, Father, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they might know all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.